There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast on the internet. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Rob, and welcome to a very special, I can't believe we're doing this episode of RFF Radio. Guess who we have on the line with us?
I mean, I'm excited. I've been fired up ever since you told me at noon that this person was coming on the show.
Ralph Garman, how the hell are you?
Hello, boys. How are you?
I can't believe it. You're talking to us.
Wow, you guys are way too easily impressed.
you have no idea. You have no idea.
I'm a fake host of a fake show on a basic cable channel, and that's really about as good as it gets for you, too.
It is. It really is.
This show has been just, I mean, I look forward to it every week. I just can't wait for Joe Schmo to go on. I wish it was like 22 episodes instead of, what, 11 or 13.
So do I. I'd be making a lot more money if that was the case.
Now, tomorrow night is the final episode, which I am devastated over.
You know, I'm a little sad, too, quite frankly. It's been a fun ride.
Yeah. You have such a unique position, because you've been in all three seasons. You've been the smarmy host,
right.
The pompous host,
yeah,
and now the badass.
That's right.
There's just something about this season, though, it seems like, to me anyway, from the other two seasons. It just, I don't know, something. What is it?
I think we found the perfect genre of reality show to mock. The first time around, it was basically a Big Brother / Survivor type show, and that was certainly ripe for the picking. And we had a great schmo with Matt Kennedy Gould. Mm-hmm. And the premise, I think, was so strong. That's what really carried the show. The second one, I think, we fell a little bit short of the mark because we tried to double up, and we had two schmoes. We had a guy and a girl. We had a Jane and a Joe. And mm-hmm. We were doing the Bachelor, Bachelorette type show. And it wasn't right for schmo, I don't think, that genre. It was really funny, I thought, but it wasn't as effective as the first one. This third one, I think, we got the recipe just right. We found a good genre to spoof. We found a great schmo. The dynamics of the show, how it works, is there. And then the comedy is also there because we've got some brilliant stuff that our head writer, John Moore, came up with. And we have some amazingly talented actors. And it was just a perfect storm.
How did you get involved in this project from the very beginning? And what's the ride been like through all three seasons?
Well, I was an actor in Los Angeles who ended up, and I'm still doing it, a morning radio show here in town. Mm-hmm. And I do wacky voices and impressions and things like that. And the creators of Schmo One, actually one of the executives at the production company, was a fan of my work in the mornings. And she said to the two guys who created the show, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are geniuses, who have now gone on to become big-time screenwriters. They wrote Zombieland and other things.
Love that movie, too.
Yeah, love that movie, too. So good. She said to them, look, I think I have the perfect guy to do it. He can pull off the host aspect of it, but he's also funny, and he's a good improviser, and I think this is the guy you want. So they brought me in, and they introduced me to the guys, and we talked about it. And I had been offered hosting type gigs before, because when you work in radio, a lot of people think that's just all you can do. And I turned it all down because I didn't want to be some jamoke who just reads cue cards, and you know, I didn't want to be Ryan Seacrest, basically. So I turned stuff down, but they said, you know, you want to be a host, and already I was suspicious, and I wasn't inclined to say yes, and then they explained how the show was going to work and what it was going to be, and I said, I have to be part of this. Count me in. If you'll have me, I'll do it. And we did the first one, and it was just a blast, and it worked with amazing people like Kristen Wiig, and mm-hmm. it was just a remarkable experience. And so it was a big hit. It was the first big hit that Spike, which was a relatively new network, had, and everybody was very excited about the outcome, so they immediately rushed into doing a second one, and I was on board for that because I had such a blast. But I told them I wanted to do something different. As an actor, you know, I didn't want to just repeat the role of the host, basically, you know, sort of a Hollywood a-hole version of myself. I wanted to do something else, so I came up with the idea of Derek Newcastle, a British host who was coming over with the original British version of this reality show, and I was going to be hosting in America. So they let me do that, and then that didn't do so well, nearly as well in the ratings as the first one did. So they weren't as eager to do a third, but there had been talks over the past, geez, it's been 9 years now since we did number two. There had been talks of doing another schmo, and they had varying ideas, and every couple of years I'd get a phone call or I'd take a meeting and they would pitch me something. It would be okay, but not great. And I was really sort of protective of the brand, because so many people had so many great feelings and memories of the first one especially, but the second one too had its fans. And I didn't want to do anything unless it was great, and I think everybody sort of felt that way. So these ideas would pop up, and then they'd disappear, and I wouldn't hear anything again about them. And then last year, I got another phone call saying, we're ready to do the third one. And I said, I'm not, you know, necessarily on board, but I will certainly be willing to listen to what you have to say. So they told me John was going to be running the thing because Paul and Red had moved on. With their blessings, John would be running the thing. I felt good about that because John was the guy who always wrote the host copy. They had a bunch of writers on the show for both one and two, but John was always in charge of me.
Okay.
And I loved what he wrote. I mean, he came up with, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you're dead to us. I mean, all the classic sort of patter that I had in the eviction ceremonies and things, that was all John. So I knew if he was coming up with the characters and the ideas and doing the writing, that I'd be in good hands with him. And then they pitched me the idea of doing it as a spoof on these bounty hunter cops kind of repo games kind of shows, and I just said that's a brilliant idea. And then we sort of together came up with the idea of Jake Montrose, who he was going to be and what I would be doing with him. So again, it was a chance for me to not just host but play a character, and Jake by far is my favorite of the three in terms of characters to play. And I really got a chance to, I grew a beard and I spent some time in the gym, I changed my appearance a lot, and just came up with this character, and it was just so much fun to play.
Well, you like him so much because you got to play alongside Wanda for a little while.
That ain't too shabby, boys. I got to tell you. My TV wife, Amanda Landry, who plays Wanda, she is not hard on the eyes. Although she is just a slut. She can't be trusted. You turn your back for a minute, and she's in the jacuzzi with a redhead. So, I mean, I had to give her the heave-ho, but she, fans of Amanda will be happy to know that she does return for the finale tomorrow.
Well, that's
night.
Good to know. That is good to know.
Now, I got to ask, Lorenzo Lamas says, Lady Justice, can I come inside you? How are you not bawling laughing? I saw Rob Belushi on the screen, and he was just trying so hard to control himself.
Trust me, we all almost went up on that one, because Lamas was the biggest surprise of the show for all of us, because we thought it was a funny idea to have a guy whose glory days maybe have passed a little bit in terms of his career. And they were always telling me when they first pitched me the show, we're going to have a celebrity on, you know, somebody who's known for the action genre on TV, or somebody like a Lorenzo Lamas type. And I said, oh, that's a funny idea, but you'll get somebody who can be funny, right? You won't get Lorenzo Lamas. And so they kept going along, and they wouldn't tell me who they got. So finally I said, who'd you get for the Lorenzo Lamas role? And they said, Lorenzo Lamas. And I said, oh, crap. I mean, this guy is going to stick out like a sore thumb in a cast full of funny people. He's going to really, you know, struggle. And then he comes in and just crushes it. And we knew we had to get him back in the show, so we brought him back in. And the first thing he comes up with in that first eviction ceremony when he comes back is that line, which is already a funny line. I mean, John Moore had written, Lady Justice, may I enter you, which is already great. And then he comes up with, Lady Justice, can I come inside you? And we almost, all of us, to a person, it was like watching everybody in church trying not to laugh. The shoulders bouncing up and down and people biting lips. It was brutal. But it was like that the whole time with Lamas, because, you know, he's doing Hiya Pay when we're doing the spirit animal ritual with the shaman. And then when he's talking to his spirit animal, the fox, and he's barking or whatever noise he was making for the fox. I mean, every time he had a moment, he made the most of it and just killed it.
What was Chase's reaction at that point? Like, I mean, obviously you're probably watching Chase very closely, not only as the host, but just as an actor in general. But what is Chase's reaction through all of this? Because we don't get to see a camera on him 24/7 or even for the full hour of the show.
Right. And that's the thing. People always say, oh, wow, Chase must be so naive or foolish to, you know, to not see through this, to buy into this. And I tell everybody, you know, you have to remember, he's living with these characters, which he thinks are people, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in this house. So they are convincing him of their veracity constantly. And with Llamas, he just chalked it up to, this guy's just a Hollywood weirdo. You know, he takes himself so seriously, and he's always saying these weird things, and he's trying to sell this European casual pouch, and he's got all these stories about when he was on Fantasy Island, and you know, he Lorenzo played this role of this Hollywood nut so convincingly that really he could have done anything, and Chase just would have chalked it up to, wow, these people in Hollywood are really weird. You know, we plucked the guy out of this, out of Pittsburgh, you know, salt of the earth, hardworking, blue-collar community, and he's a guy who works with his hands for a living. He does landscaping, and he's just a guy who takes people at face value. So when you have a guy like that who is as trusting and is believing in humanity as Chase, you can get away with a lot because he just assumes, you know, I'm stuck in the middle of Los Angeles in the middle of this TV production. These showbiz people are just insane. So he chalked a lot of it up to that.
A couple questions in the chat room. One was East York from East York Reality Fan is, did you watch any episodes of Dog the Bounty Hunter? And from Nico was, how much research did you do for, you know, being Jake Montrose?
Well, you know, I had watched Dog. I mean, everybody's seen some of Dog. But the thing that I really based my character on was I was at a wedding of a mutual friend. So I was there at this wedding with Dog the Bounty Hunter and his wife, Beth. And I shit you not, he was there in a tuxedo with no sleeves on it. And he had his guns out, and then he had handcuffs hanging from his pants at the wedding, as if he was going to run across some perp during the reception he was going to have to cuff. I mean, I was blown away by this guy in real life, let alone the TV show. And so when we started talking about the Bounty Hunter character, I told John Moore, and he tells this story a lot, I said, I only have one demand. I don't want to be one of those actors who asks for a lot of things, but we have to get with the costume people, and I no sleeves on this character at any time. Because I just thought it was so funny that the guy, Dog, goes around constantly sleeveless. I just wanted Jake to be sleeveless through the entire production. So you'll never see sleeves on Jake Montrose.
That's hilarious.
And then for the you know, the Bounty Hunter aspect of it, I'm a guy who loves cop movies and cop TV shows and action adventure shows. And I watched Renegade with Lorenzo Llamas when it was on television, you know? So I just absorbed a lot of sort of bullshit Hollywood jargon and like cop speak for Jake, so that when Chase would grill me about this stuff, like that interminably long van trip we took out, when he was when we finally had him hold that gun on that girl who was offering him a BJ, he kept asking me questions about the profession the whole time we were driving. So I was just regurgitating all kinds of BS I'd heard on NYPD Blue and all these other cop shows that I was addicted to and I used to watch. So most of what I know about bounty hunting is bullshit. It's just what did you see in Hollywood, you know, productions about cops and things like that. But it worked because, you know, that was all Chase knew, too, so it all rung true to him somehow. And but I'll tell you, they only showed parts of it on the show, but every opportunity he had, he would corner me and ask me questions about the profession and what it's like and what do you do in this situation, and it was just, it was endless. So I just had to do a lot of tap dancing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice. How hard is it to stay in character when Chase is talking to you and make sure you don't let things leak out, make sure, you know, he doesn't know that you're an actor?
Well, that's job one, really. I mean, for everybody, when he's having a conversation with you, your primary thing has to be believability. You have to try to, you know, sound like you know what you're talking about. And it's not hard to stay in character because fear is a great motivator, guys. And you don't want to be the person that blows it. You don't want to be the person that shuts down a production of people, you know, hundreds of people are working on, and they're spending untold thousands of dollars to get this thing made. You don't want to be the one to blow it. So the fear and the adrenaline when he gets into a conversation with you makes you very focused and very, very sharp.
Wow. What was the closest call? And maybe it's coming up on the next episode. We don't know. But since we've seen most of the season at this point, what was the closest call for you in terms of Chase finding out everything?
boy, there were so many. I mean, it's funny, you know, when they cut a TV show together, they obviously want it to be the most dramatic moments possible.
Sure.
And they certainly did that with our show. You know, my experience filming it versus what was on television was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
The big ones that stand out, of course, was poor Joe Newman, who plays the Carly, the deaf girl on the show. I mean, those were heart stoppers when she responded to him, when he said something, and when she heard the champagne cork go off. But for me, the real dangerous one where I thought this guy's really starting to put the pieces together was when we had the convict that he was shackled to go out the window of his bathroom.
Yeah.
And he looked out the window, and he saw all the production crew walking by, and he couldn't, for the life of him, reconcile how did nobody see this guy make a break for it when there's so many people buzzing around the house the whole time. And that, for me, was the scariest one, where I said, he is going to start to recognize that there's a big hole in this story, you know. So that's why we had to rush back in and tell him that we caught the guy quick, and it came, the tip came from one of the crew who did see him run. So we had to sort of go along with his storyline on that aspect, because we never expected him to go to the window and look out and see what was on the other side of it. And that, for me, was the scariest moment.
Stephen Minneapolis in the chat room wants to know, every time you have a big reveal episode, are you worried about the schmo's reaction when you break the news to them?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That is the exciting and terrifying part of the final episode for all three seasons. You don't know how people are going to react.
Yeah.
I think Matt sort of set the tone. He was genuinely shaken when he found out that these people he thought he knew weren't at all what he thought he was dealing with. And especially Brian Keith Etheridge, who played Brian the buddy, when he found out the guy he was closest to in the house was an actor, it really shook him to the core. And he was excited, and it was a fun reveal, but he was genuinely shaken up. And then in the second one, Tim Walsh, another great guy, it was difficult for us because I think he actually had started to develop some feelings for Piper, the girl in the show that he was supposed to be pursuing in that bachelorette type thing. I think he was a little disappointed that she wasn't real because I don't think he was in love with her, but he had some warm feelings towards her, and then those were exposed to be sort of just part of the show. So, I mean, people have had varying reactions, and you do want someone to appreciate that. Basically, what you've done is an entire play on their behalf for an audience of one. You know, you've done all of this just to give this guy a great thrill ride. I mean, that's our intention, and that's what you want the person to take away from it, that they say, wow, this was all focused on me, and you guys did all this for me, and everything, I've been the star of a show without really knowing it. What a great experience. You want them to feel good about it at the end, and it doesn't always happen.
Another question in the chat room from Mick Petey was, what other reality TV genre would work for a new Schmo? What do you think you would want to do for a new season of Schmo?
You know, it's so hard because, and this was the problem we had, you know, in between 2 and 3, all the years that went by, was when we did 1, we thought we were the most outrageous show on television.
Mm-hmm.
And then as real reality television started getting more and more ridiculous, they started pressing the envelope. I mean, you have to remember Fear Factor and all the other stuff that came after Schmo 1, they were making people eat horse ass and things. I mean, it got so ridiculous. And the tequila, you know, on MTV,
oh, God, yes,
doing a bisexual bachelorette kind of thing with lesbianism and guys and girls fighting and stuff. And you get the Bad Girls Club with people actually taking swings at each other, and it got so crazy that we couldn't compete. How do you spoof something that's already a parody, really?
That's true. That is a
so,
very good
you point. Know, to find another genre that would work, we'd be hard-pressed. You'd have to take a good, long, hard look, because at least the cops and the bounty hunter-type shows and the eviction show that's on Spike, World's Worst Tenants or whatever, those things are all drama-filled and pretty serious for the most part. And you have to kind of find something that is pretty straight-edged in order to take a shot at it and make it funny. So if I had to pick one that we could do if we had to do a fourth one, man, I really would be hard-pressed, to tell you the truth, unless maybe we you know, we took it on the road somehow. Maybe did like a Road Rules kind of thing.
Ooh,
or something where we added another element to it that would up the stakes a little bit.
You seem to have a lot of, we see you especially in the production meetings and when Jay Holland Moore is freaking out about something and you're there to kind of calm him down.
Yes. Yeah, I did a lot of hand-holding with John. The show took some years off of his life.
It reminds me, thinking of John, do you have an impression of John?
I don't really.
Oh, dang it.
Come up with one, but I really should work on that.
John's been saying on this show how people have impressions of him, and I just want to hear somebody else's impression of him.
You know, I'm sorry to come up dry here.
Yeah, that's really all right. That's okay. No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Had I known, I would have worked something up for you guys.
but what is that like to be in those production meetings? Because obviously those can probably get very, very tense filled and such.
Yeah, that's the reason they kind of brought me on as an executive producer on this version, because other than John and myself, nobody involved with this incarnation had been through the ringer before.
Oh,
the
wow.
Show. I mean, John was a writer, sure, on the first two, and then executive producer on this. I had been the host, but I was always sort of involved in steering the show, because as the host, you kind of have to take that role. I mean, you're the one they send in when things are going south, and you have to try to get the train back on the track. So I had a lot of experience with the nature of how the show works best, so I was constantly involved with the other writers and with the production team and stuff to kind of, you know, smooth out the bumps as they came along. And John and I leaned on each other enormously because we had been through the process before. And that, I think they were glad to have me around this time, not only for the role of host, but also because I had ideas and I was able to, you know, contribute to the overall production as well as my own stuff.
Sure. Well, I know our time is running short with you, but I can't believe you even took 20 minutes with us.
guys, I cannot tell you how much it has meant to all of us on the cast and with the Zoo Productions, who the production company, and with Spike, that the tremendous amount of support and passion and fun that you guys have had with the show. You've been with us since the beginning of this season, and we really do appreciate you help getting the word out and getting people to watch the show.
Well, when it's a great show, it's easy to talk about.
You're very kind.
You know, you seem to pop up on everybody's television, regardless of what you're watching.
I had a pretty good run lately. I've been in all kinds of things. I did the Bones not too long ago that was on, and I did a House last season, and with this thing, and then of course I was in the very beginning of Ted, Seth MacFarlane's show,
yep,
movie Ted, that was a big hit, and I do Family Guy with Ted with Seth as well.
Yep.
So I'm lucky that I do have a regular job. You know, I do a morning radio show here in L.A., but I do get to do a bunch of other things, and it keeps me sort of energized, being able to go and do some new things.
Red State? I watched you in Red State.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
I have to say, I love
that was a very creepy but very good movie.
Yeah, it really was. A real departure for Smith, who's been a friend of mine for years. When he did this, he said he wanted me in that, and I was so pleased to do something that people wouldn't automatically identify as a Kevin Smith movie, you know?
And yeah.
He and I have been doing a podcast together for a couple of years now called Hollywood Babylon, and we have a tremendous amount of fun with that. And through his audience, I've been introduced to a whole new group of people around the world through Smith's fans. So it's really kind of been an exciting couple of years for me.
Well, it is. It's just been awesome to watch you this season, and people can catch you on the Joe Schmo Show tomorrow night.
Yep.
Is the final,
right,
episode.
That's
on,
right,
Spike TV at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Are you on every morning on KROQ?
I am, Monday through Friday from 5 to 10 a.m. on KROQ.
How the fuck do you do 5 in the morning?
That's, yeah, that's crazy.
Every time the alarm goes off, I cry a little bit. I'm not used to it. I've been doing it for 13 years, and I just hate it. But
God.
You know,
and also on the Hollywood Babylon podcast, which I've heard, or a lot of people have been in the chat room giving you props. So,
oh, that's nice to hear. Yeah, we've got a hardcore fan base for that show. Smith and I have been doing it for a couple of years, and we do it live in front of a live audience every Saturday here up at Universal Studios at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. John Lovitz from Center Life's got a place up there. And then we're also starting to take it around the different places, too. We're starting to tour with it, and people have been showing up. So,
well, when you come to Nebraska, let me know.
I absolutely will. What's the best city for you?
Oh, whatever city in Nebraska.
Omaha, would that be good?
Omaha would be great. I would come to Omaha.
Okay.
If you're in New York, has that show traveled to New York yet?
We haven't done a New York show yet, no. We've done Philly, and we have done, Connecticut. We've danced all around there, but we haven't done a New York show yet. We were scheduled to, and it kind of fell through, so we're hoping maybe sometime this year.
And we now have a bacon number of 3, because you have a bacon number of 2. So we
That's right, yeah. what's the connection again? Do you remember?
I was just going to look it up here. You were in a movie. You were in Eagle Eye. It's not even loading up for me right now. Oh, here you are. You were in Eagle Eye with Ingvar Gerjak.
Oh, sure. Good old Ingvar.
And he was in Taking Chance with Kevin Bacon.
Well, that is a tenuous connection at best. you know what my role in Eagle Eye was?
You were a newscaster.
I was the voice of a newscaster on a car radio that Shia LaBeouf is listening to while he's driving.
It was in the van, wasn't it, when they pulled up to the gas station or something?
Yes, exactly.
So how did they get you for that? Was it just pulled off the radio station that you're on every morning?
No, the director, DJ Caruso, is a buddy of mine. He directed me in my very first film, which was called 2 for the Money with Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey.
Wow.
And he asked me as a favor just to do the voice of the radio announcer. And I said, wow, to play a guy on the radio? I don't know if I can pull that off. It's quite a script.
Well, Eagle Eye was a great movie.
It was. I really enjoyed it.
Go ahead, Trevor.
Listen, you're a Family Guy, and that's like one of my 5 favorite comedies of all time.
Oh, yeah. I have to agree. It's funny, funny. It has nothing to do with me. That's just funny.
Yeah, Family Guy is great. I mean, I don't think you've been in a real flop. I mean, let's be honest.
Have you seen Sharktopus?
I have not, no.
Check out Sharktopus sometime. The legendary sci-fi classic by Roger Corman, half shark, half octopus, all monster.
Oh, my God. I'm seeing the DVD cover for it right now.
Oh, yeah. You got to check that out. I die a spectacular death at the arms of Sharktopus.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That is a stinker, but it's hilarious.
I'm going to see it.
All right.
Ralph Garman, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Boys, it's been my pleasure, and thanks again for all the support.
No problem. And if you ever want to be on the show, just call in anytime.
All right, guys. I will. All right.
Talk to you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
That was awesome. Oh, Jake Montrose from Joe Schmo, Ralph Garman on the show.
Nico just said Taco would love that movie, Sharktopus.
That was fantastic. Yeah, this episode of Joe Schmo was fantastic also.
Oh, yeah.
I almost started crying when Lorenzo Lamas said, Lady Justice, can I come inside you?
God, it's ridiculous. Rob
Belushi, the camera panned to Rob Belushi, and he was trying so hard to not laugh. Like, he's almost crying. You could see, like, his head was down. It's like, oh, my God, that was too funny.
I have to see Sharktopus now. This is on my bucket list. No, Joe Schmo is great. And Jay Holland Moore said that tomorrow night's episode, if you're not crying by the end of it, he said you have no soul. That is how intense tomorrow night's going to be.
There are so many good moments from last week's show. Also, when Lorenzo Ramos says have you ever seen Snake Eater 3?
Yeah. Yeah, Chase taking a spirit animal for a walk through the leaves those were avocado a grove, and avocados are poisonous to llamas.
Or Lorenzo Lamas tasering his wife. That was good.
Oh, my God, that was great. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be so sad after tomorrow night. I don't even want to watch tomorrow night's episode because I don't want it to end. That's how bad I don't
I felt bad seeing Chico go home. I did. Chico's been such an integral part of the show.
Chico, it's been so hard to see them all go because you've got such a connection with these actors for some reason, and they do such a great job.
I feel like they could have done 22. I feel like they had so much good stuff they could have done 22 episodes. When this was released on DVD, I want to see the footage that was cut.
Yeah, so do I, definitely. But I just don't know if they have the stamina to go more than like 13 episodes. I just don't know.
It's absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to the season finale tomorrow. I can't wait to watch it.
Will Jay Holland Moore be on the here next week? I really hope so. If not next week, he'll be on here the week after. Jay Holland Moore definitely has to sit down with us at some point and just decompress over Joe Schmo. And if I can convince him, I want him on Skype. I want Jay Holland Moore on Skype to be "quote unquote" in studio.
we can give a Joe. Are they having an after show tomorrow for Joe Schmo?
I don't think so.
They should. They really. I'd love to see everybody get back together again.
I think Rob and Trevor are doing the after show.
We're gonna have to do the after show for Joe Schmo.
Yeah,
they don't have a formal after show. We got to do the after show.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so we're definitely gonna see if we can talk to Chase. I want Chase on here badly. But, of course, we're not going to get him on here until after it. It's like Survivor. We're not going to get him until after the show's over. And got to have Joe Newman, Carly, on here with Mr. Wentworth.
I'd like to get her. I'd like to get, obviously, Jay Hallmore, her. I'd like to get the guy John Stevens also if we could get a chance.
Oh, sure. The guy that's always, like, panicky Pete on the episode.
Yeah, I'd like to get him because he always see. I'd like to get whatchamacallit. God, the one that started banging on the coffin. What was her name again?
Carly. Yeah.
I like Carly Newman. On the show.
Yep.
She stayed in character, too, which was incredible when that happened.
Of course, we had Stan on here last week.
Oh. Skylar would be fantastic.
God, any of them would be good.
On the show also.
Randy.
that whole show is tremendous. Yeah. Even Lavernius. We didn't get enough Lavernius during the season. This short stint on the show was fantastic.
Yeah, it really, really was. I don't know. I'm just really disappointed that tomorrow night's it. But I don't know. I think we can get a DVD, this season out on DVD. There's going to be enough demand that Spike will have to release it, right?
There's enough demand to Spike's have to come with the fourth season.
No, I would think so. I would think so.
It's got to be their highest rated show.
Did you see, what was it? Oh, the Bad Tenants show that was on before. Wow.
You look at everything else that Spike is airing. Joshua has to be their highest rated show. It just has to be. I can't see how anything else on that channel can get higher ratings than Joshua.
I don't either. So anyway, we have, this is more than just the Joe Schmo podcast.
Yeah, it was, let's talk about Survivor. I thought Survivor was really good. I have to say, what was her name? It was Hope that got eliminated,
Hope.
Right?
Yes, Hope is gone.
I thought she screwed up. I mean,
oh, for sure. You throw a vote towards Eddie. Back.
All she had to do was walk in there and vote for Eddie, and Eddie goes home.
Exactly.
He's one of the five. That's a big screw. That should actually be a nominee for the reality TV awards. Ooh. That was a horrendous screw up.
That was.
She wanted too much to be a part of her team and alliance, and instead Shamar says and basically tells her if she goes in there and votes for Eddie, she's staying in the show. Yeah. Shamar was fucking his own alliance.
Yeah.
And essentially, in Hope, let him get away with it.
Yeah. Hope had all the information she needed. All of the information she needed to make that judgment call.
I mean, just a terrible decision on her part.
Yeah. Awful. Just awful. I'm very disappointed in her because you're right. I mean, throw a vote towards Eddie, and it's four votes for Eddie, and the game's over for him.
Yeah, the game's over. You know, at the end, she's still alive, and you know she's in a decent position if she could have stuck around for another week, right?
Yeah,
I mean Reynolds obviously the target. They're going to try to flush the idol again the following week.
The thing is, when you're in that position, when you're in the minority, 1 week can make a world of difference.
Yeah, you never know if a merge is going to happen or something. There's so many different things. You know, maybe you win immunity, all of a sudden you're sticking around again.
Exactly. There could be a tribe swap. There could be an individual immunity. There could be, you know, you could work with Reynolds and try to, you know, save yourself with the hidden immunity idol. So
I mean,
I don't know. And to answer somebody's questions, can I get the Survivor exit interviews yet? Still. And yes, I can. It's during my work day, so it's really hard for me to get away and do them. So I haven't done them, but I should have talked to Hope. I really should have talked to Hope. Yeah, the favorites or the
fans. I would love to have asked her to sit.
The fans are the dumbest yet, they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a horrifyingly bad decision. I couldn't, as I was watching it, I was like, oh, she's going to get saved in the game. So obviously she now knows that she should vote for Eddie, throw a vote that way. And instead, she goes around telling everybody what Shamar told her.
Yeah.
That's something you keep to yourself.
Yeah.
You walk into tribal council, you vote for Eddie, everybody's looking around like, what the hell just happened? Right, everybody's looking around what happens, then you see the highlights of the next week's episode, when she goes, yeah, Shamar told me by the beach when it was going down, and maybe Shamar gets banned. Nah, I mean, what I was saying, it was just a horrifyingly bad decision.
It was.
Right? If she goes in there and votes for Eddie, it's 4-3-3, then the next, yeah, we'll see highlights of next week's episode, where, you know, she says, well, how do you know to do that? She'll say, well, Shamar told me down by the beach. You know what? Shamar may be on the chopping block next for saying
exactly,
that.
Exactly. And you've maybe bought yourself 2 weeks at this point. I think that she just made a stupid, stupid decision. And Sherry is in control of this game at the moment. I'm worried that Sherry's playing this game way too hard and has lined herself up too closely with Shamar. When Shamar actually does go, it's going to be bad news for Sherry because she could very well be next. It means that her alliance has turned on her.
Sherry's definitely playing a Boston Rob game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's pretty generous. That's pretty generous to say that. Because she's playing a day 30 game at day 3, or day 6, or day 9, whatever.
Yeah,
we're at.
She's trying to control every single, she's basically controlling every single vote on her tribe. She's already playing an end game, because she's trying to carry Shamar all the way to the end with her.
Yeah.
I mean, her, obviously she wants to carry Shamar, and the other, is the other girl's name Laura?
Allie's gone now. Laura, yeah, Laura is right.
See, I mean, in an ideal world, Sherry wants to bring those two with her to the final three.
Nico's right. Sherry is only mediocre. She seems like a great player because she's on a tribe of idiots.
She's dominating her tribe right now.
Yeah, she is.
The question is, are they going to go back to Tribal Council? I actually think the favorites are going back next week, by what I see in the previews.
There is a Medivac TV ad, and somebody at work was telling me about this today, too, that they've seen on television advertisements that somebody may get medically evacuated from the show, and it looks like it's a fan.
It's a fan.
Yeah. Shamar. It's probably Shamar. His body cannot handle this. He's a huge guy. He's, what, 300 pounds?
No, because I saw that. It was somebody with hair, and Shamar is bald.
Oh, yeah. It's probably Eddie.
It's somebody with brown hair.
Could be Eddie.
If it's anybody on the fan side, it's Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. Could be Reynolds. What about, like, Matt? Which one's long hair? Don't care. There's Matt and Michael. That's Michael. Long hair, don't care is Michael, I think.
I'm right in the chat room. I thought I saw that. I thought I saw the preview. It was somebody with long brown hair. Brown hair.
I'm wrong. Yeah, the entire cast is pretty idiotic. For fans of the show, this is the dumbest fans yet. Dumbest fans yet.
Yeah, I think Sherry's good, but you're right. I think outside of her, the other fans. I think Laura is decently cagey.
She probably is.
I would say Laura and Sherry know what they're doing.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. I'm just
when you look at the now. What do you think about Malcolm already having control of an idol?
I'm worried because Corinne is such a loudmouth. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I'm talking about that too. She may out the idol.
Yeah, she's gonna inadvertently tell. Well. Not inadvertently, she's going to tell somebody, I think. I don't know. I just don't trust her at all.
It's interesting how people are lining up in pairs by who they were with in their seasons, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like Cochran and Dawn are lined up. Malcolm and Corinne are in the same season, but they're already paired off.
Yeah.
And it seems like Philip and Andre are working together a little bit.
So I guess I'm having server troubles tonight, everybody. I mean, if the webpage was loading up slow for you guys, I'm working on that right now, too. I'm trying to figure out. Someone has hijacked the password for my account, my rob@realityfanforum.com. So that's great news, isn't it?
That's not good.
No, so...
You have a pretty intense firewall, too.
Yeah, I do. The logs show the various IPs are logging into the and sending emails. I recommend it. So, I gotta...
I hate that, and I always tell people when that's happened to their accounts, too.
Yeah.
Seems like it's happening more often.
So I need to log in and change my password. I'm gonna have to change all my passwords on this. Sorry, we are totally off subject here, but I've really got to focus on this at the moment, so sorry.
No, but yeah, getting back to Survivor, I think somebody off the favorites are going out this week, either via medical or via a vote off. I don't think it's Malcolm, but I think it's somebody with brown hair. Wouldn't stun me if it's Corinne.
Yeah, but you said it's a fan that gets evacuated.
Possibly. It's a fan, then it's probably it's somebody with brown hair. It could be Laura.
I don't know what is going on.
It's got to be either Laura or Reynolds, because somebody with darker hair.
I don't know what is going on with your internet tonight, Trevor, but it's one of the worst in a while. When are you switching to Fios?
I'm getting all of my bars in.
Are you on Wi-Fi or are you on 3G?
I'm on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. I wonder what's going on. Is anybody else using the internet in the house?
No, I don't think so.
Well, slap them upside the head if they are.
You want to call me at my phone?
Nah, Skype? We'll deal with it because Skype sounds so much better. Just let me change my password here. I've really got to change this.
No problem.
This is really bad. The server is just overloading tonight. That's what's going on. So I wonder if changing my password is going to help. And then I got to email the server people back. So what do you think? Well, I mean, there goes Trevor again. Skype is dumping out of the call this time. Oh, it's just been one of those days, everybody. Taco's podcast is going to take it. Taco may be taking over. Trevor does sound great when he's connected, but for some reason his internet seems to drop every once in a while. Yeah, he's on. Please, there's an internet connection. Oh. Yeah, there you are.
Okay.
I don't know. It just keeps. My Skype or my internet hasn't dropped out because the people in the chat room haven't been complaining. But it's got to be something on your end because Skype says internet problems between the two of us.
Okay, well...
Nico says Taco and Rob C have formed an alliance against us and take us out. Trying to take us out. So what do you think is going to happen this week? And talk for a long time.
I'm going to say, I saw that medical preview also. If someone with darker hair that gets medevaced out, if it's from the favorites, then it's going to be Reynolds because he's the only one with darker hair that it could possibly be. If it's on the favorite side, I'm going to say Corinne because she's got brunette hair. If there's a medevac out, then nobody's getting voted out this week. I believe in that preview, they gave the medevac person the option of staying in the game or not. That's going to depend on who that is if that person decides to try to suck it up for another week. If there is an elimination, see, I think I believe that one of the favorites is going to go home next week. So if there's no medevac, no medical evacuation, I'm saying Brandon Hance goes home because he has been on the borderline of going home for quite some time now.
Yeah, you know, he's just batshit crazy when it comes right down to it.
I think he really is. Like, he's almost like bipolar the way he's been acting.
Yeah, he really kind of is. I mean, it just goes from one extreme to the other.
I mean, he is.
I'm worried.
Yeah, it hasn't been. Yeah.
Go ahead.
If I were him, I'd be complaining about my edit because I would. It doesn't. To me, it's just not the way he's coming across right now. It's just awful.
Yeah. I'm worried about the long term of Malcolm and Corinne's alliance. I'm worried that if word gets out that he has a hidden immunity idol, he's in even more trouble. That's just my thing. I'm concerned for Malcolm greatly.
You know, you're right. I think Corinne will keep it to herself, though. I feel like Malcolm's going to get to the merge, and then he'll get in trouble after the merge. That's when it comes out that he has an idol.
That could be. The original Mike K says, I just watched the preview. You don't see brown hair. The brown hair is the medic person.
Ooh.
So that throws a whole wrench into your whole plan there, Trevor.
I thought the person that had brown hair. It's the medic that had the brown hair?
That's what they're saying.
Hmm. If it's... Alright, if it's just regular person... then it would be somebody...
I'm still going to stick with Shamar because that his body size is just ridiculous out there. It really is. I just am worried about his health.
He's had such a tour de force this season. I don't see him going out like that. If it's a fan, yeah, I'm going to say the guy Mike.
Oh, it could be.
You see, Mike or Max, I'm going to say one of the two of them. They don't look like, I don't know, I just don't feel like, if I were writing the script, Shamar doesn't go home this week.
Yeah, but this isn't a script.
If J. Holland Moore was writing this, Shamar stays in the game.
This is not the Joe Schmo Show, executive producer J. Holland Moore, hosted by Ralph Garman as Jeff Probst. This is real life. This is real life, Trevor. Come on, let's bring it back together here.
No way. I will be very upset if Shamar goes home this week. The best part of the season.
Oh, she's, yeah. Dublin says it's not the woman race car driver. She's got no airtime yet. And KFN Dog says this is not Grodner's big brother either. Oh, we got to be nice to Allison Grodner now because J. Holland Moore knows her. Do we have?
Yeah, I mean that if there's a monkey wrench in. I hope it's one of the favorites that gets injured, not one of the fans.
you hope it's like Brenda. Just take somebody out. That's really. Andrea.
I mean, I hope it's Brandon Hance, but
yeah, well,
I'm certain it's not going to be him because he seems like he's good at being outdoors.
So what do you have happening? Did we talk about this? Did I miss that part of the show already? Sorry.
No, all right. So if that takes out my brunette, if it's the brunette's the medical person, then I'm going to say Mike or Max is the person medevaced out.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. I can't disagree with you. I would hate to see one of those two go because I think they're both in a really good position. They're kind of in the middle of this whole alliance and seem to be able to go either way, but I don't know. I don't know.
All six of their injuries to try to drag Shamar to the merge.
I think it's Shamar. I'm going to stick with Shamar getting injured. Bert says it looks like the hand of a black person from Survivor Fever, so...
Then it's either Shamar or Phillip.
Oh, what if...
That would be
You would be devastated.
Two favorite characters on the show. I hope that's not what...
You would be devastated if it's Phillip.
I hope that's not... I will be devastated if Philip goes home next week. I may not be able to watch another episode of the show if Philip's not on it.
Yeah, Stephen Minneapolis says it can't be Malcolm. The stretcher's not big enough for his giant balls. Do we have to talk about The Amazing Race? Can we just skip that this week?
Are we contractually obligated to?
I think we are.
I mean, if you're Dave and Connor, you won the leg. Don't quit now.
Well,
you got the crutches, you got the brace. Yeah, you're only on the show one time in your entire life, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe twice if you get on an All-Star season. I hope they don't quit. I enjoy watching that team. I've been rooting for them. You know, it's already injured as is. I mean, Achilles is already ruptured. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to have plenty of time to rest after the race.
Yeah.
Just stay in if I were them.
Here's the thing. Like, if you're going to quit, I think it is a little bit of a dickhead move to take the express pass just to get a free trip somewhere. And I think that is what is going to happen. We've won a leg. We've got a free trip now to Thailand, to Bangkok. Let's quit. We're done.
I think John and Jessica actually may have given it to them because of that.
That could be. If I were them,
yeah, I wouldn't want to give the express pass to a team that, you know, that could get a big lead on me and hold it. I think I'd rather give it to a team that's somebody injured, right?
Yeah.
Because then, you know, you're not worried about having to catch up with them.
I suppose you're right. I don't know. I
I don't want them to quit. I'm rooting for them. I hope they stay in.
I don't want them to quit either. But you, at some point, you just you're not going to make it very far in the race. I mean,
you're probably not going to win because you can't run for the finish line. So you really have to finish at least 5 minutes ahead of it. You know what I mean? You have a built-in now handicap when you're running.
What's worse, though, quitting and saying I've done the very best I can at this point, or being knocked out because two challenges involve driving a manual clutch vehicle and you can't do it. To me, it's better to quit now that you're on top. Hey, we're on top. I got to take care of myself. Than to be knocked out by something you can't do. I don't know. Maybe that is the complete opposite way of looking at things. But right now, I would rather quit when I'm on top than being knocked out for something I can't do.
I'd rather be beaten than quit. Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're probably going to be able to last a couple more legs anyways. I feel like you're on the show as a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, let yourself be beaten. You know what I mean? Like, but stay in. Try the best you can. You're probably not going to win, but hey, you know, just go after
they
it.
They have zero chance of winning.
Oh, I mean, basically, they have to be ahead by at least 3 to 5 minutes at the end of each leg over the next closest team. They can't run to the finish line.
No, there's zero chance of them ever winning this race. They quit. In my humble opinion, they quit this after this. It's a super leg, but a ching, but a.
Now, do you think that they decided to make it a super leg because they felt like he might quit if it's a rest stop? You know what I mean?
I go back and forth.
So by making a super leg, you got the adrenaline flowing. Maybe he stays in for another leg of the race.
I go back and forth on this because if you're gonna make it a super leg and they end up quitting. You can't have a non-elimination leg at the end of a super leg. That's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So did they make it a super leg because they were expecting him to quit, or were they making it a super leg hoping that he quit?
Or were they making a super leg thinking that he might be more likely to stay in the game? Right, because yeah, you just won first. You got all your adrenaline going. You're feeling confident.
I think he was so ready for a break. I think he was so ready for a break that he's disappointed that they keep racing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they want him?
I think he stays. I think they stay in the race.
Nico's right. Why would they want him to quit? I mean, that's a good point. Why would they want him to quit?
I think his son's going to be like, let's stay in. I think Phil's going to be like, come on, man. This is once in a lifetime you're on this show. Don't quit.
Yeah. I don't know.
You got crutches. You got a fancy brace on. Not only is the finish line a problem, basically now Connor has to do every single, you have to really manage your roadblocks.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why they have zero chance of winning.
Basically, you have to make sure that you only choose roadblocks for him that don't involve any physical exertion.
Yeah. Who's the serial? Nico says Dave and Connor, Max and Katie, the serial killer, the YouTubers, all brilliant casting. Who's the serial killer? Because Max is going to be a serial killer of Katie, I think. Max is going to strangle her while she sleeps. Did you hear? I'm 24, I have a doctorate, I'm pretty much always right.
She was really giving Max the business in the car, too.
John has a serial killer grin. That is true, he really does. I've never noticed that.
I actually think Bates and Anthony are looking good right now.
No, they are not. Stop it.
I like them, and I think Pam and Winnie are going to be tough also.
They might be, but Bates and Anthony have zero chance of winning this race. Test tube John. John is right. John and what's her name? I can't even think of her name right now. Jessica. Thank you to the Wikipedia page that told me. I say this every week because somebody said in the chat room a few weeks ago, they were scientifically test tubed to be amazing racers.
They're like every amazing race couple team.
Yeah, they really are. I thought they were brother and sister, but they're dating, so. Guest 7038 says Bates and Anthony and Roller Derby Moms for the win. I like Roller Derby Moms too. Bates and Anthony, I know they've finished second and first and who knows what in this third leg, but I just don't see them being a big threat.
So now who do you have going home next week?
Oh god, I hope it's Team YouTube. Do I hate Joey and Megan? I think I don't know. I don't know if the country singers have it in them to continue going. What do you think?
I was going to say the country singers feel like the weakest team left.
Caroline and Jennifer right now.
And they had their previews did made it look like they struggled next week.
They are fighting in the chat room.
Who's fighting in the chat
room? Oh, they're test tube. One more time, everybody now. Team YouTube, they're trying to get Chance going in the chat room. This is, how dare you, Robert, from Nico, saying that I hate Joey and Megan. They're terrible. And now Nico's the hipster in the crowd, liking Joey and Megan. John does have a serial killer smile, that is for sure. Now that you've pointed that out, I can never unsee that. But, I like Jessica and John. I don't know what it is. They're giant douchebags, but they're going to win this race.
I'm sticking with my Bates and Anthony prediction.
Everybody needs to get around the fact that John and Jessica are going to win this race. They are going to win this race, people. Just mark this. Mark this on the podcast right now. They will win. They will win.
Write this down.
Write it down, folks. Write it down. So does that do it for this week?
Yeah, I mean, I have no other reality shows to discuss.
I don't know how we can top Ralph Garman. Maybe
we can't.
Maybe Jay Hollenmore next week with Chase and Joe, Carly. You know who I'm talking about.
We gotta get the whole cast on the show.
God, how cool would that be to get everybody on Skype? Ugh, what a technical fucking mess that would be for me, but how fun would it be? I'm reading the chat room, sorry. How can people get a hold of you, Trevor? Oh, he's not here. He got booted off the podcast, everybody. Are you here, Trevor?
I am. Yeah, you're back. Okay. What'd you say?
How can people get a hold of you?
They can actually Trevor at rffradio.com.
I'm Rob at rffradio.com, but I don't know if it's fucking working tonight, folks. Because my server...
I'm sorry, you have some editing.
Yeah, that's alright. Oh, fucking...
The editing, dude.
Fucking edit.
The connection wasn't great tonight for some reason.
No, it wasn't. You need to work on that. That's your homework for the week, Trevor.
That's my fault.
Yeah, that's your
My wireless signal is pumping in at 4 bars right now.
You need a new wireless router. That's what I'm going to say. New wireless router for Trevor.
I'm going to go to Time Warner Cable and say, listen, new wireless. I just got a new wireless router, though, like 2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
How about you just switch to Fios?
I should just switch to Fios.
You say, hey, listen, Time Warner Cable, you suck. I'm going to Fios. Thank you. Have a nice day. All right, guys. I want to thank Jay Holland Moore. I want to thank Jay Holland Moore for just being an awesome guy.
He's awesome. Show rocks.
But I want to thank Ralph Garman for coming on the show tonight and sitting down with us. And watch the Joe Schmo Show, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week.